Historians are rather curious people. They like to visit curious places, like graveyards. Apparently, there's something about tombstones. When it comes to Great Britain, there are a number of places you can go and visit to pay your respects. Two in particular stand out. First, of course, is Westminster Abbey, the burial place of kings and queens, and poets, and scientists, and statesmen, and, well, you get the picture. But the place I prefer is outdoors. And it's free, too. This place is known as Bunhill Fields. It likely stands for Bone Hill. It was a burial ground as far back as 1000, if not even earlier. From the 1660s on, it became the place for the nonconformists to be buried. These were the church leaders who would not conform to the Church of England. We know them as Puritans. Many nonconformists are buried there. John Owen, the great Puritan theologian, is buried there. He had been vice chancellor at Oxford University, but he was down in London. He lost his post because of being a Puritan. He was in London as a pastor, and there he is buried in Bunhill Fields. Isaac Watts, the great English hymn writer, he too is buried in Bunhill Fields. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, is there. And there are others, too. The writer of Robinson Crusoe, Daniel Defoe, is there, and so is the poet, William Blake. And there is one more person worth mentioning. His remains lie but a few feet from John Owen, and he is the author of the second most popular book in the English language. This is John Bunyan, the man who gave us Pilgrim's Progress. Bunyan died on August 31st, 1688. He was in London on a preaching trip. He was buried there in Bunhill Fields. Much later, in 1862, a statue was installed over his grave. The statue is of a man lying down with a book in his hand. Two carvings are on the sides, and they depict scenes from his book. In the one, Christian, the main character of Pilgrim's Progress, is weighed down by the heavy burden on his back. He's hunched over, feeling the full weight of the burden of sin. Bunyan describes him this way in the book so he can give us a vivid picture of what sin and its consequences looks like. On the other side, the carved figure is standing upright. He's free of the burden as he's clinging to the cross. And so there on the statue, we have the beginnings of Pilgrim's Progress, and we also have where Pilgrim comes to the cross and has his sins forgiven. Bunhill Fields was on the outskirts of the city at the time of Bunyan's death. But the city grew out and around the cemetery. A sidewalk runs through the middle of the cemetery, and Londoners use it as a shortcut as they go about their business. A few apartment buildings and offices stretch into the sky around it. The streets lining it are full of buses, taxis, bikes, all busy, all on the move, all running here and there. Last time I visited Bunhill Fields, I sat for a while on the bench beside Bunyan's grave and watched the streams of people go by. I wondered if any of them ever pause to glance over at Bunyan's grave, or if any take the time to see the carvings of the man so burdened and of the man set free. I wondered if they ever took a few steps out of their way to look at the statue adorning the top. Do they ever think, what is that book he's holding? Do they know what the Bible contains? You might remember that when Christian first set out on his journey, he was aware of his burden. But his friends and his family, they couldn't understand why he was upset, why he was so bound and determined to seek freedom from his burden. They couldn't understand why he had a book in his hand, much less why a Christian thought that book was of any importance or urgency. And there Bunyan is today, still raising his prophetic voice, still reminding us that we do indeed have a burden on our back, and that there is but one solution to freedom from this burden, and there is but one book which has the answer. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 minutes in Church History. Well, as we wrap up today's session, we have a quote from Stephen Charnock. Sin is altogether black and abominable. But by the admirable wisdom of God, he hath drawn out of the dreadful darkness of sin the saving beams of his mercy, and displayed his grace in the incarnation and passion of his Son for the atonement of sin.